You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're on again. We've got Josh Prakash. He's the founding partner and chief investment officer of IP Capital Partners. They buy all kinds of real estate all across the state of Florida. Josh got his start as an analyst at Booz Allen. You're a smart dude. Very smart dude. And then you worked for L&R where they showed you how to buy value.
Absolutely.
Now you're doing that for yourself and your partners.
That's for sure. I got that fiduciary duty now.
Now tell me a little bit about what you're looking at and what you're seeing.
Sure. So IP Capital is a private equity investment and asset management company based in Boca Raton. My business partner and I started it in 2012, Jason Isaacson. And our focus is that we're buying value-add office and industrial mainly throughout the state of Florida, which is Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, and South Florida, Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade counties. We invest through our fund vehicles. They're fully discretionary, close-end vehicles. We're currently deploying Fund 2, which is a $60 million fund. With our GP sponsor focus, with the long-standing relationships that we do have on the LP side, when with modest leverage, we have about $550 to $600 million worth of buying power right now. So we're net buyers. We're looking for opportunities. And frankly, over the past 3.5 years, we've been very active. And starting tomorrow, I'll be hard on our 13th deal. And it'll be about $575 million worth of product that we already purchased. So if there's any opportunities out there, we're ready to buy.
Sounds to me like your best customer is the real estate broker.
Absolutely. You gotta. I mean, in majority of certain circumstances, that's the lifeblood of our industry. So absolutely.
Yeah, that's why you were on the phone in the conference room with one of my favorite guys. I don't want to give him a shout out and out him, you know, because it's all secretive what you're doing until it closes.
Exactly.
But hey, high five to him, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, now you're out there buying. You're buying office. You're buying industrial. It's real tough to get a bargain down here in South Florida because value add is so well picked over. But I think that there's circumstances sometimes that create value add even where you don't see it. Somebody needs to liquidate, and then maybe there's some good opportunities upstate with some of the growth that's going on. What do you see as your favorite market?
Right now, I mean, what we've seen over the past 6 to 9 months is that on the buy and sell side in the capital markets, there was a disconnect between what we're seeing on the leasing environment and throughout our portfolio. So there was a little bit of price discovery. I think there was obviously the noise with the election, obviously rising interest rate environment. Core funds were taking a break dealing with redemptions. And so that actually reduced some of the competition out there for us. And that's more so on urban product. We were able to buy 110 Tower in downtown Fort Lauderdale, which was truly a market that we like. It's very tight. I actually live in Fort Lauderdale, so it's kind of a home base for us and happy to have a beachhead there. But on the urban front, what we've seen is that because of that pushback and because of that competition, that prices have come down where we can actually achieve our return hurdles for our value add profile, where we really never were able to do that just because of the influx of institutional capital looking there. And then also, of course, on the suburban front, that's always been our bread and butter focus. Kind of the Class B 80s vintage atrium style buildings. I think some of the differentiating factors are high parking ratios, because a lot of the users are getting very, very, very dense. And so parking ratios are huge, amenities, but really access to roads. Our Daytran Center asset in downtown Dadeland, with that transit oriented nature, we see that being a forefront and the focus of investors, office clients, office users, and frankly, I mean, you're seeing all the infrastructure coming along with Brightline, the Wave downtown Fort Lauderdale. So it's really on the forefront of a lot of people's minds as well.
Wow, you're touching a lot of deals I worked on. I did the construction financing for the 110 tower.
Well, there you go.
See that? High five on that. And it, and by day trade, I did the Tuscana where all your workers are going to live.
Gotcha.
So we got to sit, we got to get together and figure out how we can exploit some of these vertically integrated activity centers that you're buying real estate in.
Absolutely.
That's very exciting stuff. And suburban. So you're getting good value in suburban. You know, a lot of people say that people, I never say the M word, so we'll talk about, and you're probably one of them.
I'm not. Oh, but good I know for what you're going to say.
Okay.
I call it
people under 40.
Well, then I am.
Okay,
I am,
so yes. People under 40, they like to live in these vertically integrated places, and they've always said that they're going to live only in urban downtowns and everything else. But I think we're seeing a demographic shift to the suburbs, so you're out in front doing what Gretzky says, skating to where the puck's going to be.
I mean, we try to be the contrarian. There's definitely value, definitely yield. When you look historically over the trends of urban prices versus suburban prices, the spread hasn't ever been any greater. It's at an historical spread right now. So we feel that, yes, if we can get into urban with a value-add play, we would absolutely love to do so. But we actually are feeling we're getting in great value, great going-in yield, even at 65-75% vacancy or occupancy. So we like that. We like the trends, and obviously it's suburban or submarket focused and kind of location.
Sure.
And
somebody out in the suburbs still wants to be able to go out and get a fast lunch at a decent place. So now we talked a little bit about how you're raising your funds. Are your funds for institutional investors, or are they available to the general public?
So obviously they would be open to the public. Majority of our funds, I mean, we've closed fund two. Majority of our investors, one's the large fund of funds, and then really we have a slew of what I can call institutional family offices. We really focus in the family office space. The unique feature of our fund is that it's somewhat accretive. We're a GP sponsor fund, so all of the carried interest that comes in through the property level, that entire bucket comes to our investors. And so in a typical setting where you're in a fund, and I don't want to use other large fund investors, but typically there could be promote, double promote, there could be a lot of fees associated with it where we're buying the same deal, and ours is saying that we're going to buy a property level, we put in 10 to 20% equity, we get tremendous buying power because of our relationships and longstanding relationships with these LPs, and then also you get the benefit of that promote where the property will do a 20, we'll do a 30, and you'll get net of fees still above the property level for taking a little less risk. So it was very compelling during our fundraising.
Wow, that sounds like a great program. And when you continue to buy, you got a lot of stuff on the table you're going to try to close over the summer?
So I tell you, the first quarter was probably very, very slow for us. The last deal outside of this one that I'm actually going non-refundable tomorrow was in October. I think this has really been a trend across the board, similar to some of the other stuff that I've been alluding to, which was just the timing of the election, rising interest rates. But it's really something for us. We have dry powder. We really don't have a gun to our head to deploy. We're a smaller fund, so even though we have about $500 to $600 million of buying power, we're still doing 4 to 5 deals a year. It's more quality over quantity. We definitely have seen a pickup. I think it's been because of the choppiness and the turmoil on the macro level. It's something that we're actually seeing some good buying opportunities because now some of these properties have cleared.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, talking about what you're seeing in the market. I hope you'll come back maybe towards the end of the year when you booked a couple more deals and
Absolutely.
Tell us what you think you're seeing in the market. I can't thank you enough for being part of this. And you know what I call a guy like you?
What's that?
A sharp real estate business person.
Well, I appreciate it. Coming from you, that's a definite compliment. So, and again, I'm happy to be here. So
it's my absolute pleasure. I know it wasn't easy coming down from Boca or wherever it was, but we got you in the conference room making calls. We're going to have Josh back at the end of the summer, maybe in the fourth quarter, talking about what's going on in the real estate market.